And so today we are going to be talking a little bit about the other side. The title that I've included is While We Go to the Other Side. Now I want to start this off by a picture. Now this is back in September. I was already retired then. September, Nikki and I were going to go to a concert in Columbus, Ohio. And so when you go to Columbus, Ohio, you have to go to the zoo. And so we went to the Columbus Zoo. If you're ever in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, you can go to the zoo. So there's a picture of Nikki and I. We're at the zoo. Now, one of the things we didn't realize, but we realized real fast when we got there, and we're going to show you a map of the zoo, is this is a very big zoo. I'll say 17,000 steps big zoo. And so we got there, and we started where the brown is up there on the right-hand side. On your right-hand side, we started where the brown is. Our goal was this. This is what I told Nikki. I said, this is our goal today. Our goal is to see this whole zoo because we had to get back and have something else that we had going on. And the goal was to go from the brown all the way over to the purple. And that was our goal. And we started with the brown and we started going. The goal was this. The goal was to get to the other side. We wanted to get to the other side. Well, you see where that green is right there? We got there, and I looked at Nikki. Nikki was fine, but I looked at Nikki, and I said, I'm done. I had sinus issues. I actually even did some issues like that. So we didn't make it all the way to the other side, but we made almost. And Nikki says, well, what if I just leave you, and you go? And she says, and I can make it to the purple. I said, well, go. I'll sit right here on this bench. And then she goes, you know, I'm kind of tired, too. You know, it's that kind of tired. Have you ever walked so much that's that kind of tired that even your hips hurt? That's kind of what it was, because we walked, and you see that's a very big zoo. And so I bring that up because I just wanted to talk about our goal to get to the other side of the zoo. But something more important than getting to the other side of the zoo is us, our lives. You know, we're all on a journey. Everyone in this room, we're on a journey to the other side. We're on a journey to the other side. You know, when we are born, we start this journey to the other side. You know, I want to tell you all something in the scripture I found during this. It really is a whole nother teaching and sermon, but yet I want you to know this. It says this in Psalms 139, 16. You saw me. Now, who's you, God? You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, I share that scripture to you because I want us to know something. We're all on this journey to the other side. And while we're going on this journey to the other side, sometimes we can feel alone. Sometimes we can feel discouraged. Sometimes we are troubled. A lot of times we're happy. A lot of times we're joyful. But the one thing that we are never, when we're making this journey to the other side, is we are never alone. That scripture right there in Psalms 139 says this. It says that before you were even born, God was there with you. And God's with us all because God is the one that created us. And so on this journey to the other side, there's some things I just want you to know. First of all, you're not alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone because we're going on this other side. And so today I'm going to take a scripture from Matthew 14. You see that in your bulletin. And it's Matthew 14. And I'm going to talk about this scripture about when Jesus, it's a story about Jesus and the disciples, and it's very important. And I want to share with you three insights on this journey to the other side. We all can agree right now, we're on this journey. Every one of us, praise the Lord, we woke up this morning, we took a breath, we got out of bed. Another day God gave us. Praise the Lord, right? God gave us another day. And so on this journey to the other side, I have three insights I want to share with us today. And I want us just to take these from the scripture, because this is all from the scripture. And I want us to just put them in our hearts and see what God has to tell us. So in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22, that's where we're going to start in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and give you number one, and that's this. When going to the other side, I want you to remember not to miss Jesus. Not to miss who Jesus is. So let's look in Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to where? The other side. The other side of what? Well, the other side of the lake. When he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. They thought Jesus was a ghost. And Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. So these disciples who Jesus had asked to go to the other side, that were in the boat, and they were in the boat, and they see this figure walking on the water, and they said, it's a ghost. They almost missed who Jesus was. So while we're going to the other side, we must never miss who Jesus is. Now, number one, we have to understand this. Jesus is our Savior. If we miss who Jesus is as our Savior, we've missed the most important decision that we ever need to make in our life. As we're going to the other side, we have to realize at some point in our lives that we realize that we're sinners. That there's a hole in our heart that's caused by sin, the sin nature. And that every one of us, the wages of that sin is death. But yet God sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of our life. That when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and we ask Jesus to forgive our sins and we believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose 3 days later, when we believe that and we confess that with our heart, we will be saved while we're going to the other side. And I pray here tonight that if you're here and you haven't settled your salvation, or you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, I want to ask you and say to you, do not miss Jesus while you're going to the other side. You know, none of us know when the other side's coming for any of us. You know, Pastor, he was Vi Cooper's funeral this week. Pastor did a wonderful job. The family did a wonderful job. But they kept saying, I'll see you on the other side. We never know. We never know when our other side is. But Jesus is more than a ghost. Jesus is our Savior. And so if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord or your personal Savior, I ask that you get that settled tonight. And we'll have a chance to do that in just a minute. But yet I'm not just talking to those who haven't asked Jesus in their heart as Savior. I'm talking to even all of us that have asked Jesus in our heart as Savior. And I'll say the same thing too. Don't miss who Jesus is. You know, Jesus is more than your Savior. The Bible has many things to say about Jesus, and I can't read them all, and I can't spend all this time reading them, but Jesus is more than a Savior. Praise the Lord, we're saved. Amen? But you know, as you go through life, the Bible says that Jesus is also your Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. It says in Philippians 2:9, for this reason God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord of all. And that means when I ask Jesus Christ as my Savior, Christian, and I'm a Christian, Jesus is also my Lord. And what does that mean, that Jesus is my Lord? It means that I study Jesus and live by what Jesus and how Jesus wants me to live. See, I'm so glad he's my Savior. But to be my Lord, that means my life's desire is to serve him. The Bible says too, he's the bread of life. The Bible says also, he's your mediator. He's the one mediating you with God. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't even have to be with God. And the Bible says he's your mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the only way that we can get to God because of our sinful nature is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's your mediator. He's so much more. The Bible says he's your peace. You know, I know in the world we live in today, sometimes we just don't have peace. I pray today that you're not going through things that you're not peaceful. But I'm here to say to you that if you're not, Jesus is more than your Savior. He is your peace. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. Who is he himself? Jesus Christ, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He gives us peace. The Bible says he's your Redeemer. The Bible says he's your risen Lord. He's your rock. He's the Son of Man. Listen to this. The Bible says he's your wonderful Counselor. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and here's that word again, the Prince of Peace. You got troubles? He's a wonderful Counselor. Go to God. And so, Christian, I ask today that if you are here tonight and you're going through whatever you go through, don't miss who Jesus is. He's so much more for you. He wants to be so much for you. He's everything to you. Make him more than just your Savior. Dedicate your life to all of who Jesus is. It will change your life when you do that. And so we see there then that we got to be careful when we're going to the other side not to miss Jesus. Number two is this. While we're going to the other side, remember to keep your eyes on Jesus. Now let's read this scripture. We're in verse 28 now. Remember, he had just walked out and they were scared and he said, "It is I." And then verse 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. So Peter got down out of the boat. Now, picture this. Peter got down out of the boat, stepped in the water, and came toward Jesus. So Peter's out of the boat, and he's walking toward Jesus. He's walking on water because he's got his eyes where? Smack dab on Jesus. He's got his eyes on Jesus. But when he saw the wind, a lot of place translations say storms. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out with his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." As we go to the other side, many things try to distract us from keeping our eyes on Jesus. I'll ask that question to you now. Do you have things going on in your life right now that are in a battle between you and keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ? You know, Peter walked out and he had his eyes on Jesus. And man, that's the best place to be, right, in life? The best place to be in life is to have your eyes on Jesus. But he got right about here, and all of a sudden he started listening to the wind. And the wind, shh, and the storms and the waves. I mean, let's cut Peter some slack here. I would too. Okay? I probably would too. And I'm also guilty when I have other things going in my life that are storms in my life. I'm also guilty of taking my eyes off of Jesus and putting them on this problem. Whether it's health, whether it's a relationship, whatever it could be, I'm guilty of doing that too. But understand this. I want you to know this because we're going to get into some things that cause us to keep our eyes off of Jesus. But understand this. Did Jesus leave Peter at this time? No, Peter started to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus, but Jesus never left Peter because Jesus reached down and what? Grabbed his hand. Jesus is an active God. Jesus is a loving God. When you're having problems, don't look at God as he's punishing you or you're a terrible person. Jesus is a loving God that wants to reach down and pull you up out of what's going on in your life. So whatever you're dealing with today, you turn your eyes to Jesus Christ, and he's going to reach down just like he reached down to Peter. And he said, I mean, he is going to tell us, you have little faith. I mean, that's a challenge of our faith. And I think sometimes our faith is challenged. Now understand what I'm about to say. Sometimes I think our faith is challenged because in the previous point, we've missed who Jesus is. We're just looking at Jesus as our Savior. When he's so much more. He's our everything. And so that, knowing that and living that and walking that helps you to have the faith that you need to have. And so understand that. In this case, it was some storms. All of us have storms. But I'm going to give you three things. They all start with the letter P. I'm going to give you three things that help us keep our eyes off of Jesus. And I pray that we just realize this and realize that this is going to be a struggle and this is something that we really need to work on. You probably can figure them out. Two are very familiar. The third one's very challenging. The first one, and you imagine, people can keep our eyes off of Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? You know, if Satan can put our eyes on a person, you've just taken your eyes off of Jesus. Now, I wish everybody in the world would do everything exactly the way I wanted it. Amen? But guess what? They don't. And so throughout my life, there have been people that just get on my nerves. I'm not naming names or anything like that. And there have been people that have hurt me. There's been relationships that have just been bad. And if I put my eyes on that, I take my eyes off of Jesus. So be careful of the people in your life that you have a struggle with. That's a tool of Satan, not to mess your life up, but to get your eyes off of Jesus. Because once you get your eyes off of Jesus, what do you start doing? Sinking, right? You start to sink. And so the bitterness and unforgiveness that you may have for these people, if Jesus is your Lord of Lords, you haven't missed him, he is your Lord, go to God and say, God, I need to forgive this person. God, take this bitterness away. Pull this root of bitterness away from my life. Because all it's doing is it's causing you to sink. And so people keep our eyes off of Jesus. The next one is pride. None of us ever have a problem with pride, do we? The metal letter of pride is I. You know, it's the best tool of Satan because it's the one that got him kicked out of heaven. He thought he was going to be just as good, if not better than God. And so pride, and we don't want to humble ourselves sometimes and admit that we're wrong. Sometimes we think we're so much better than other people. Now listen, sometimes we think we're terrible That's also pride. Because what is pride? What's the middle letter of pride? I. So anything that points to I is pride. And so whether it's that we think we're terrible, which is so unbiblical, because if you're a child of God, well, first of all, everyone in this room, whether you're saved or not saved, you're fearfully and wonderfully made because God created you. So number one, that's what the Bible says. But then if you're saved, you are a priest. You're glorified. I mean, you're amazing. When was the last time somebody said you were amazing? Well, you're amazing because God saved you from your sins. And we serve a God. So sometimes pride's that way. Now the third one is a little bit more challenging, a little bit more convicting, especially convicting for me, because we have people, we have pride. Now don't get me wrong, with this third one, I just want to share with you, there's nothing wrong with this third one at all. We could not get along without this third one. I'm just going to say this. So please don't walk out of here thinking I'm judgy. I'm not trying to be judgy. Okay, if anything, I'm talking to myself. But I do know that in today's world, this sometimes can keep our eyes away from Jesus. You want to know what it is? The phone. Oh no, Tom's meddling. No, I'm not. I'm trying to help us spiritually. There's nothing wrong. This is the greatest invention ever. It's the greatest invention. I mean, you have everything here, all you want. But what I'm knowing and what I'm seeing in this world is, this is keeping us sometimes our eyes away from Jesus. Let me explain. Now, this is not so much true for the baby boomers and the greatest generation, even though we turn to TV, mainly because sometimes we don't know how to work these things. I mean, that's kind of why. But today in this world, the average person spends 7 hours a day of screen time. So that's 7 hours a day looking at your phone. You add that up, that's 106 days out of the year. So 106 days out of the year, we're looking at a screen. We also sleep an average of 7 hours a day, so that's another 106 days. So already 212 days. I mean, this would take a whole seminar to explain how this affects our lives, but how it affects our life spiritually too. But that's 212 days already that we're looking at a screen and we are sleeping. Then we got to eat and we got to get ready. That takes up a lot more days. And so when it's all said and done, we've used up a lot of our days. They're saying that the average 18-year-old today, 18 to 24-year-old today, with the amount that they spend on the screen time, that when you count all this other stuff that goes on in your life, sleeping, food, working, different areas like that, that by the time that they get to be my age, they've spent almost more than half of their life on a phone. Now, I'm not saying, this is how we get information. I mean, again, I'm just throwing out statistics. What I worry about sometimes is even though our phones can be used for God, just like everything else, we've got to remember something. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Our phones should never replace our quiet time and time with God. Ever. I encourage us that when you have your quiet time, either turn off your phone or put it in airplane mode put it over to the side, because if not, Facebook notification, Instagram notification, TikTok notification, email notification, text message notification. How do I know this? Because I use my phone for my Bible a lot of times. And Pastor, I hope you ask me to preach again. But I can't tell you how many times sitting over there I've had to answer some emails because while I'm trying to read the Bible that he's reading the scripture, I get a text message from somebody. And then I say, well, that's not going to take me any. Pastor's never going to know. I'm just going to text it right back. And what it does is this. Now, again, praise the Lord, we can do that. But I was convicted. It was affecting me spiritually. Now, this is me. Now, God's got to work in your heart. But to me, and I have to be careful. You know, my wife's really good at this. She'll wake up. The first thing she'll do when she wakes up and she has her quiet time. And she has her quiet time. She won't look at, you know, Facebook, because, you know, we have grandkids. We got to look at Facebook and see our grandkids. That's just the way it is. But she won't do any of that until she's finished. I get tempted when I'm supposed to, you know, because I want to have my quiet time. First thing, I want to give Jesus the first of my day. And it's very hard. And so I'm just speaking for myself. And if I'm the only one, I'll go to counseling. Everything will be fine. Everything, you know. And everything. But if I'm the only one, then that's fine. But still, our phone should never replace our communication with God. Our phone should never replace looking someone in the eyes. Nikki and I have stopped taking our phones out at restaurants. If you see us at a restaurant, we have our phones out. Either slap us or we've stopped doing that at restaurants. We're working at it at home, but we stopped doing it at restaurants because we stopped looking at each other. And if I'm not looking at my wife, I'm surely probably not looking at Jesus, because your spouse is the most important thing below God. Or people are more important than... And you know, just the mere holding my phone in my hand lets the other person know you're really not engaged in talking with them. Because you're really waiting for a text message or something. Do you know that teenagers are breaking up with each other now by text message? I'm saying that because the phone should never replace looking someone in the eyes. We are God's creation. Now, I know God invented this and allowed the minds to invent this, but we're God's creation. You're very important. Our phone should never replace healthy, loving, verbal communication. Now, I'm all for text message. I am. Email. Perfect, perfect, perfect. It's great. But important stuff, we need to talk one-to-one. Just talk one-to-one. Don't argue. Because what it is we're treating God's creation. When I say we're taking our eyes off of Jesus, we're not doing it the way God... I mean, we're God's creation. You're important. You're important. You're so important to me, to God, that you should be more so important to me, that if I have something I need to talk to you about that's very, very important, I want to look at you in your eyes or talk to you with my voice. I'm just saying that. Now, I'm not saying text message is bad. Again, please don't look at me as being judgy. I'm worried about this with our relationship of keeping our eyes on Jesus. And the reason I am is because I've been so convicted of it lately. Because of that one example I just gave you, which I'll probably hear about someday, but still, we've probably all done it. So, but still, I just want to share that with you, because it's okay to turn off this phone. God is so much powerful than Verizon. God is so much powerful than AT&T and T-Mobile. The phone is here to stay. It is. It's great. It helps us. It's fantastic. But God's been here since the beginning of the time, and he'll be here at the end of time, and we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. So, forgive me if that sounded judgy, but I'm just so focused on us wanting to keep our eyes on Jesus. So let's do the third one. When going to the other side, remember it's a place of complete healing. Now listen to the rest of this. When they crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret, and when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were, what were they? Healed. You know what that other side is? When you don't miss Jesus, that other side is heaven. A place of complete healing. You know what I mentioned about 17,000 steps in my hips and how they hurt? And that's not going to happen in heaven. Because in heaven, it's complete healing, not just physical healing, emotional healing of all the stuff going on, and physical healing. You know, heaven's going to be such a wonderful place because you'll go there and you'll see Jesus and you'll be able to meet Jesus. But I love this part. In Revelation 7:17, it says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." You know who's going to be our shepherd? Jesus. You know, that's why I don't want you to miss Jesus as your Savior. He's also your shepherd. And it says, Jesus is your shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Can you imagine? I talk about this sometimes in funerals, but, you know, I see Jesus, and so I picture I'm walking with Jesus, and he has my hand, and we're walking down the streams of living water, who he's also living water, and Jesus reaches up and said, "Tom, everything's okay. Everything's okay." Now, I know we still struggle here on earth, but when we fix our eyes to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's saying the same thing to us right now. Everything's okay. I'm in control. So tonight, I encourage you. Tonight, I implore you to fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus, who is the Lamb at the center of the throne, who will lead us to springs of living water, who will wipe away every tear from your eye. When we know Jesus, we are in for a perfect healing of our life when we get to the other side. Amen? Isn't that great? I mean, that just kind of gives you chills. It's great. So everyone here, I pray that you know where you are on your journey. If you're here tonight, I ask you with all my heart, do not miss Jesus. He's not a ghost. It's Jesus. If you're here tonight, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, we can settle this right now. If you're here tonight and you're not sure, you just always question that. You're just not sure whether Jesus is your Savior and Lord. You can take care of that tonight by asking a man. And you can just not miss. You know for sure you're leaving here tonight, you hadn't missed Jesus. You know that for sure. We're going to take care of that then. But Christian too, this is a time for us to pray too. Is Jesus all these things to you? All that he is? Jesus is more than our Savior. Let's all, every day, say, Jesus, this may be a rough day, but whatever happens today, I pray that I can keep my eyes on you. Amen. Amen. So if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, please do not miss Jesus. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Everybody here, bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here tonight and you do not know for sure that you are saved, or you're here tonight and you realize, man, I miss Jesus. I mean, I'm missing this. You can ask Jesus in your heart now. Just say these words. Say, Dear Jesus, I'm asking you into my heart. I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I need forgiveness for my sin. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my Savior and my Lord.